Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You would know by now that typically on Kaya Biz, we take a look at much of the economic data and insight that's shared by Statistics South Africa. One of the most recent readings did show that unemployment in the country increased yet again. That, coupled with the less than opportunistic growth, does continue to add significant strain to our economy. And for months, years, decades on end, there have been several policy interventions implemented to ensure that we actually do alleviate the unemployment crisis we see. However, it does seem that at times our focus might be misplaced, especially on public employment schemes which perpetuate the unemployment crisis. Well, this is according to the CDE, Center for Development and Enterprise in South Africa. Anne Bernstein, Executive Director of CDE, joins us now to tell us more. Anne, always a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for your patience and time with us tonight. I guess first things first, when we take a look at your new report regarding South Africa's unemployment catastrophe, take us into some of the pillars that you evaluate that help us contextualize this crisis that we have in the country.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always pleased to be with Kaya, so thanks for the time. I'm sure all of you feel that every day you're opening the newspaper or listening to the news on Kaya or any other station, and all you hear is about companies retrenching workers,
yeah,
and about large industrial companies that have been here for a long time that are closing. So in that context, we really need to focus on the, in our view, 12.5 million people who would like to work in this country but cannot find a job. So the first point I want to make is that we have to appreciate how big this challenge is. It's not something you can deal with small projects for 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people. We're talking about millions and millions of jobs. And most of the time, the government focuses far too much on public employment schemes, using our tax money to pay people for picking up litter or teaching assistants in schools or whatever. And these are not insignificant. They're not meaningless jobs, but you'll never deal with millions and millions of people that way. The only way to get jobs of the scale South Africa needs is we have to get growth, yeah, at a much higher rate, and we have to make sure that that growth absorbs more people in jobs, a more labor-absorbing economy. So those are the two big issues we're pushing, the relationship between growth, but also the reforms we need in order to encourage employers to hire people and not buy machines.
And let's deep dive into that, Anne, because we do see that there are several policy interventions. There's the skills levy that we see that has tax benefits. Government obviously has the EPWP, Expanded Public Works Program, to try to ensure that there's jobs cultivated, which you've mentioned. Let's contextualize this. These, as you say, are working, but they're not fully effective. How do we need to see shifts in terms of the implementation?
Well, we're saying we need four big reforms, okay? So in addition to the reforms we need to get growth going, which is the most important lever to get jobs, we're saying to get more and more employment from the growth that we get and we should be getting, we have to look at four different areas. The first is, and most important for small firms, is the labor market rules. We're not saying we've got to fix everything. We're saying we need to encourage employers to hire people rather than make it so difficult that they don't want to hire more people. So that's where we are now. So we're saying we should have a one-year probation period where you could hire somebody young who's never had a job before, and it doesn't work out. You could dismiss them. You don't have to go through very complicated, expensive procedures. The second is we have a system where a large company and a trade union can negotiate wages and conditions and whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But then once they have a deal, The minister extends it to everybody else in that sector. So small businesses, rural businesses, small firms in rural areas, new firms, they all have to comply with the deal that the big business has made with a trade union.
I see what
and
you mean.
And that's disadvantaging, making life very difficult for small firms. Mm-hmm. So that's one big area, the labor market. We've got some other suggestions, but those are some of the biggest things. Mm-hmm. In the skills area, you raise skills. We're saying our technical colleges, the TVETs, are expensive. They're not performing. They often produce graduates that employers don't want. Change this. Have a partnership with business so that you're training people for the skills that businesses want. That's one issue. This, and you can do this in various ways. The other is that the CETAs, everyone talks about CETAs. They were established to deal with the skills shortage in the country,
yes.
But they're useless. They're failing. Everybody agrees this. Unless you work in a CETA, I haven't met anybody, academic, expert, or others who thinks they're doing a good job. So let's close them down and let's look at how you can get big companies training people. You can use private sector trainers, but close the CETAs down. Mm. So we're making some very clear recommendations there. There are two other areas, but I can stop. You look like you want to say something.
Indeed, because you're mentioning very solid points that typically have been brought to the fore in conversation. And as we know, business in particular has often lobbied for some of these changes to be implemented. But that's the concern, right? And we know what it is we need to fix, but it almost seems as though there's just no political will to actively implement some of these solutions. How do we need to shift that?
Well, I agree with you. I think the country has a leadership problem and a lack of political will. You know, one of the most important things, when you're not well, you go to the doctor and you want a doctor who can give you an accurate diagnosis. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you? And then they can say, this is how I'm going to fix it. Now, at no point has the president stood up and said, this is why we're in such a terrible situation. Yesterday, he said we're in an economic emergency, but he didn't tell us what had caused it. And until you have a common diagnosis, you're not going to get a country on the road to fixing it. So to carry on with the old policies we've always had, they're the ones that have got us into trouble in the main. Now we're saying you have to change policy. You have to build on your own, your diagnosis of what has caused the problem if we're going to fix South Africa. And we're optimists. We think we can fix the unemployment challenge, the growth challenge. But in order to do it, you're right. We need the political will to be honest, and we need leadership to build coalitions to change direction. Mm-hmm. And that's what South Africa's lacking at the moment.
I'm a fan of capitalism, Anne, but I'm well aware that not all of us in South Africa are. And many of our listeners often say, come forward to actually raise their frustrations around business, not making the necessary investments into skills, into people, and into the markets and centers and municipalities that they invest in. Do you have any feedback, given that you do engage with business quite actively, as to how best they are looking to not only remain resilient, but also mitigate some of these risks that exist in the local environment?
Look, the first thing to understand about business and about capital is that they have choices.
Yeah.
They can invest money anywhere they want in South Africa and anywhere they want in the world. And so a country like ours, we've got to understand that, and we've got to say, how do we make ourselves an attractive environment for the people with money to risk that money with us? That's the question. And we look too risky. We don't have a clear vision of how we're going to move forward as a country. We don't have a clear vision on, do we want to be capitalists or do we want to be something else? If you were sort of deciding where to put your family's money, you've got a bit extra to invest, you're going to want to invest it in a place that you feel confident you'll get returns. And that's the real challenge South Africa faces. We have so many problems, so many challenges that the government has not dealt with, that it makes us very unattractive to risk your money. And the big challenge is, how do we turn that around? You don't have to fix everything at once. We don't have to be perfect, but because we've got a lot of things going for us as a country. But we have to change the perception and the reality of confidence in the future. And so I am very disappointed with the ideas put on the table yesterday from the ANC. I think this is a very inadequate response to the challenges that we face, and it's hard to see that this will encourage investors to invest in the country, domestic or foreign, I'm afraid.
And you're right, we do see several of these updates from many industries and businesses, even at times government coming in after the fact to actually impose tariffs or add some more preventative or protectionist measures to ensure that industries can survive. We see it in steel, we see it in chrome, and previously had seen it in the poultry industry. And to close off with, as you say, you know, this is a report. You've compiled it with a very phenomenal team at the Center for Development and Enterprise. You engage business and business leaders quite actively on your platform and even through webinars that we're able to engage in. But how do we move this forward? And I ask this not only for South African citizens, but even for those who might be around the table for G20 and B20 conversations, where we are looking to lobby to see some shifts in our economic policies in the country and the continent at large.
Look, I think citizens of the country, we'd like you to read our documents on the website. We want you to talk about these issues, that public employment programs, sort of make work jobs, can help some people. But it cannot deal with the scale of unemployment of 12.5 million. And it's time we took unemployment seriously and actually said, this is the most important crisis that the country faces. Think of all those despairing young people who cannot get a job. We have to change the trajectory of the economy, and we have to look at taking small business promotion seriously, which we don't think we're doing, and changing the way in which we are trying to make this a more labor-absorbing and much, much bigger economy. Mm. That requires putting pressure on politicians. Don't vote for people who don't think the way you do and who don't take unemployment in the millions and millions as the most important challenge we have to deal with.
100%. And we'll leave it there for tonight, but such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you as always.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks. That's Anne Bernstein, Executive Director of CDE. That's the Center for Development and Enterprise. Commenting on the recent publication of their latest report titled South Africa's Unemployment Catastrophe, A Call for Urgent Action. Several levers and aspects that she says we need to reflect on. So it really does raise a lot of concerns around how best it is that we adopt these policies, which I don't think any of us have any contention against. But it's the implementation thereof successfully, sustainably, that often gets in the way of growth and development. But share your thoughts, share your views. Lots on the agenda tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you as always. 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes to. We had an earlier conversation around all things spuds and farming potatoes. Many of you shared your comments and your feedback. And as we described, the potato market and environment, there's an oversupply. The prices have plummeted quite significantly. Not great for potato farmers who might still be looking to offload their harvest, but great for us as South African consumers when it does come to costs, especially if you're buying like a pocket of potatoes and that price being impacted there. We also spoke a moment ago around policy shifts that we do need to see in South Africa and pension funds. It does seem as though for many South Africans who wanted to withdraw from their two-pot, they ended up finding out that the employer, the company they work for, was not actually paying over those contributions to the pension fund. Not great. And of course, there are ways within which the pension fund adjudicator's office is looking to assist us. So those are just some of the themes that we touched on tonight. As always, we welcome you to share your thoughts, comments, and feedback. Do share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. But stay with us. Just after the ad break, we're getting ready to speak to a phenomenal entrepreneur, someone whom I've had the pleasure of witnessing his growth and his journey. We've spoken to him on Kaya Biz many times before, and we decided after all the growth that we've seen him having invested in other businesses, it's time just to catch up with the founder of Zulzi. So stay with us. On the other side of this, we'll be speaking to Bukhari Donald Baloyi, who'll be joining us to tell us more about his journey at Zulzi and some of the amazing, amazing influence they've had in the e-commerce space in South Africa.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.